This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. When you think college football and you think reporting, he wouldn't say it, but I'll say it. When you think of reporting on college football, you think of our next guest. He is one Andrew, a.k.a. Andy Staples, of course, on3.com, college football reporter and host. A great show, Andy Staples on 3. On 3 is available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, formerly Sports Illustrated, The Athletic, SiriusXM. And our good friend, Progressive Guest Line, brings you one Andy Staples. I'm glad we got you before the season started, because if you lose any more weight, you're going to disappear.
No, I'm good. I think I'm flat where I am now. I think we'll not get small. I'll never be small, which I'm fine with.
Even his hair looks fuller. I guess getting healthy is a more, good thing. Well, it's great. It's great.
It just
to see
looks
it.
Like more hair because there's less face.
Yeah, you've slipped down the face. That's for sure. We had a little fun with the coaches poll that dropped yesterday. And when you get to 8 and you're talking Michigan, maybe we should start there, because obviously sure. A lot of turnover on offense. The defense should be exquisite. But there's also drama, Andy, with Sharon Moore taking over for Harbaugh and the allegations. Let's start there with Michigan.
Okay, so I don't think anybody needs to worry about that this football season for Michigan, because we all know the wheels of NCAA justice turn very slowly. Last year with Harbaugh, with the Connor Stallion stuff, this stuff was going on this season. You must do something now. And there was a lot of pressure from the rest of the Big Ten to do something now, which is why they suspended Jim Harbaugh at the end of the season. I would imagine the NCAA will take its normal course with this one, with Sharon Moore, which means we're probably not going to see any action on this until after this season. So I don't really think it's going to have much effect.
Now, Andy, with everything the Wolverines lost this year, do you still think there's enough on that roster to potentially make the playoffs here?
Yes, because there's 8 more spots in the playoffs. Dustin, I don't think I would predict them to be in a 4-team playoff, but what they have coming back on defense, that defense will keep them in every game. I mean, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, the best tandem of defensive tackles in the country. Will Johnson, maybe the best corner in the country. The Josiah Stewart on the edge, one of the guys who helped blow up the last play of the Rose Bowl. They've got an incredible defense. We'll see about the offense. I'm very curious to see what they decide to do at quarterback. Are they going to go Alex Orji? Which, if they do, I would imagine the offense will look fairly similar to what Alabama's offense looked like with Jalen Milroe last season, where you've got a first-year starter who's an incredible athlete, who has a huge arm, but maybe not the best mid- and short-range accuracy. So, like, what they did with Milroe last year to Alabama, probably very instructive for Michigan if they go with Orji. If they go with Davis Warren or Jack Tuttle, it'll look a little bit more like, I don't know, the Cade McNamara era Michigan offenses.
So you think we could see that, hey, let's try out for 2 weeks, like Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy, to figure out what we have at this position? Because remember, week two, Big House is Texas.
Yeah, the way the schedule worked out when they did that, it made sense. It made sense that, okay, we're going to do this extended tryout. It will be obvious to everyone. Because what they were doing is essentially they wanted to start McCarthy, but McNamara just taking them to a Big Ten title in the playoff, and you're like, I can't just bench him. So let's just show everybody that JJ's better. And they had the opportunity to do that. They were going to win those games no matter what. But this time, week two's against Texas, it's not really the time for experimenting.
So, Andy, how much of what Michigan has done the last few years, you know, beating Ohio State, winning a national title, putting the pressure on Ryan Day, caused what we saw from Ohio State in the offseason, which I think you can make a case them and Ole Miss probably had the two best offseasons. Like, do you think that this was coming at some point for Ohio State, or did Michigan and their success put the pressure on for the Buckeyes?
I think this lit the fire. I think eventually they're going to figure out this is how you win in this era. But this definitely, the Michigan success against Ohio State certainly lit the fire. The fact that Ryan Day lost to an acting head coach, who's now the regular head coach, but he was the acting head coach back then, that's bad. And they had to do something. But if Ohio State this year reminds me of anyone, it's Michigan last year. Because Think about how many guys played for Michigan last year who could have been in the NFL, who would have been kind of mid-round draft picks, like, but they came back for another season. That was a lot of their offensive line, some of their defense. For this Ohio State team, like, half the starting defense is guys who would be in the NFL right now and not, like, trying to make a team. Like, they'd be on a team.
I want to stick with, fellas, can we throw up those Big Ten odds? And, of course, the great Andy Staples on three. The name of the show, Andy Staples on three. I want to throw up the odds, and I just want to have a little fun with you here. And it's a new look Big Ten. It's just the college football landscape's weird at this point. It's going to take a little adjusting.
Can we get a new name? They haven't had they haven't had 10 teams in like 30 years.
We got to do something.
Longer
Ohio
than 30
State,
years.
Ohio State plus 155. You guys just both discussed Ryan Day. Look, I don't know if there's pressure on the dude. But he's plus 155. You see Oregon Andy to win the Big Ten is 2-1, and then Penn State 5-1. Do those three odds and then Michigan 7-1, does that stack up right for you as far as the odds?
Yeah, that makes the most sense. Iowa 40-1. If you want to throw something down and have some fun, throw something down on Iowa 40-1, because look at Iowa's schedule versus everybody else's schedule. Iowa's schedule is very manageable. If they have even a barely functional offense, and remember, they did fire Brian Ferentz. They hired Tim Lester, so new offensive coordinator. I mentioned Cade McNamara earlier. Remember, he was supposed to be their starting quarterback last year. Got hurt in preseason camp, kind of limped around for a while, then tore his ACL. They never really had the offense on the field that they thought they were going to have. I kind of think Iowa's a sneaky bet to make the Big Ten championship game. If you can find a good, you know, better odds on them to make the championship game rather than win it, because winning it will require beating probably Ohio State or Oregon. But to make the championship game, consider sprinkling something there. But the odds for the champion make sense to me. Ohio State and Oregon are the two best rosters. Michigan may have the best or the second best defense. Penn State's going to have a really good defense. It really just depends. They have a new offensive coordinator in Andy Kotelnicki. Can he unlock something in Drew Aller that Mike Yurcich could not? That's really the question, because they should have a decent run game, but their passing game last year was just kind of pedestrian. And I don't know that they've really improved the receiving core. So I don't know how much better it can get, but it maybe Kotelnicki comes in and things change. So if they can do better through the air, Penn State is going to be a potential, you know, spoiler in this whole thing, because that defense at Penn State is going to be able to hang with anybody.
Oh, you know what? That was just out of spite. Andy and I for years have been battling about James Franklin. I'm not a Franklin guy. It's just always with the Franklin kick in you.
Hey, look, they're not bad, but here's the thing about Penn State. They're out of excuses. So this is for you anti-Franklin types. This is the year for you, because they would have made if they had the 12-team playoff with this format, Penn State would have made it six times since 2016. They better make it this year. But if you look at all the polls and you look at all the projections, Penn State's sitting there right at like 12 or 13. So like just missing it. And I'm telling you, they'll melt down if they miss this thing.
All right, Andy, looking at those Big Ten odds, I have a question deeper down the board. Has there been an overreaction on what USC is capable of being? They're 22-1 to win the Big Ten, not the national title, the Big Ten. Defense stunk. I know that's obvious, but they bring in the guy from UCLA, Lynn. They bring in Matt Aintz from North Dakota State, who is a head coach. He's now their linebacker coach. And they bring in Doug Belk in the secondary. I know Doug Belk. You know why? Valdosta, Georgia. That's where
Valdosta
he's from.
State. I knew it. I knew it.
Oh boy. So it was coming.
But is there kind of an
Winner's
overreaction to what USC is capable of being?
Overreacting? Do people think they're capable of winning a national title?
Well, no.
Winning the Big Ten.
I mean, making noise in the Big Ten. That is a big number for a premier program.
I don't talk to a lot of people who think they're gonna make noise in the Big Ten.
That's my point.
Now, yeah, if they are better on defense, then it's possible. But I got to see that. And my other concern is their offensive line. Like, just Lincoln Riley teams at the line of scrimmage have never been particularly great. His Oklahoma offensive lines were pretty good, but he had one of the best offensive line coaches in the country in Bill Beedenbo, who did not follow him to USC. So until they show that they can develop some guys at the line of scrimmage, I just don't believe. And then, you know, when you have a non-conference schedule that is LSU and Notre Dame at the bookends, that's pretty rough. Like, if they lose to LSU and Michigan, they'd better beat Wisconsin, or things start rolling downhill real fast.
Have you gotten into the Olympics?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. USA.
In particular, anything? I'm into the women's beach volleyball. Before you think I'm weird, they actually practice right over here in town where I'm from, so I've actually got to see them practice. So I've gotten into that and Budinger and the whole thing. What are you getting into?
Well, the women's beach volleyball, the 5'6 lady from LSU is awesome. She's yes. so much fun. She does not take any crap from anybody. I love watching her. The one I loved was slalom canoe cross, which is like four canoes at the same time. They have to hit these gates. They have to go upstream. And then it looks like they're in American Gladiators at the same time. It's amazing.
Also, this is for you, big guy. If you haven't watched women's volleyball, check out Valentina Goddard from Italy, and you're welcome. When we return, and I'm told Andy gives us two segments, which we're blessed. Andy Staples is going to continue, because my assumption is, in his long time covering college football, this is the first time Nick Saban isn't going to be in the mix. So new juice in Tuscaloosa. Also want to discuss the ACC. I think it's a two-team race. We'll get Andy's take on that as well. Of course, you can find Andy over at on3.com, the show, which is tremendous. Andy Staples on 3 at Andy_Staples. We're back. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, Dustin, quickly, let's get an update on USA Brazil, but quickly want to tell you, you can get 75% off. Now, this is, look, it's a new era here at VSiN. Musburger Media is back. Steve Cohen is here to run the ship. We're excited. So what we're doing, 3 years, $350. It's the best deal we've offered since I've been here for 5+ years. Go to VSiN.com/special. And if you're already a subscriber, you can get the deal as well. Go check it out. 75% off right now. We're going to get back to Andy Staples, of course, on 3. He's the best. Quickly, an update on the basketball, which we're betting right now, big guy.
So U.S. leads with about 90 seconds left in the first half, 57-36. Remember that the spread in this game was 26.5. So don't fear if you took the points, because Brazil, the back door is not only large, but is always open.
Okay, take it easy, Dustin. On3.com, of course, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. On3 has quickly developed quite a space in the college football game. And the star of On3 is Andy Staples. On3, that's the show. Andy_Staples. By the way, Mr. Staples, did you know that the U.S. women's national team got a goal in extras about an hour and a half ago against Germany? So they're on to play for the gold. Are you excited?
I watched it happen. The German goalkeeper got a little too far away from the goal, and the look on her face as that ball went soaring past her was, oh man, I messed up.
I can't go back to Germany. I do think like there is, I will say, and we're talking, I would like to know your take on the landscape of college football, because it is a weird time, but I will, like, the Scheffler tears, the Djokovic tears, like, there is something that draws you in to the Olympics where there is an emotional vibe that I didn't expect to still be hitting me, but it does hit me.
It's different. And Scottie Scheffler's won everything you can win in golf, just about. But the thing is, like, every kid dreams of winning a gold medal. Even, like, I imagine Scottie Scheffler, before he ever picked up a golf club or realized golf was going to be his sport, was like, I want to win a gold medal in something. Like, every kid right. wants to do that. And then you become one of the best in the world at something, and you get a chance to do it in the Olympics? I mean, come on.
Well, you and I are the same age. So back in the day, Dan and Dan was the best promotion. Google it. What Dan and Dave, was that what it was?
Didn't one of them not qualify?
That's correct.
But they had such a great promotion.
They're both decathletes.
Yes.
I believe and Dave then, didn't qualify. Dan O'Brien did.
shout to Dave. They had more commercials on television than anything, and he literally didn't qualify. You remember, you're old enough, Mary Lou Retton and Carl Lewis. Like, you know, growing up, that was like, exactly. So, we're into it. Now, with the college football landscape, here's when I realized everything had officially gotten drunk. Cal is in the ACC. Now, just to be clear, the ACC is the Atlantic Coast, and last time I checked, Cal is on the Pacific Coast. This is weird.
Very weird. I mean, on a clear day, you can see the Pacific. I mean, you got to look across San Francisco, but you can see the Pacific Ocean from Berkeley. It's insane. And Stanford's there, too, and then SMU took no money. No, we don't need any TV money. We got boosters. Let's go to the ACC. It's a wild conference, and the schedules are very variable. And they are in the Big Ten and the SEC as well. But, like, look at Miami's schedule versus Georgia Tech's schedule. Like, Miami got the easiest draw. Georgia Tech got the most brutal draw possible. And, oh, by the way, they also play Georgia out of conference. But it's there's a lot of variability in the ACC because there's a few pretty good teams at the top, and then it gets kind of chummy after that.
Let's stay
it
on
does.
Miami.
And we were just talking about Miami yesterday. Like, and again, 20 years in the ACC, I believe they've had one 10-win year, and the whole crystal ball jokes are going to be made. But things set up nicely for this Hurricanes team this year, Andy.
This is a really good roster, too. They're bringing Cam Ward from Washington State, a quarterback, who Shannon Dawson, their OC, runs an offense that's similar to what Cam Ward's been running his entire career. Because he started in Incarnate Word, goes to Washington State. He was kind of the prize in the transfer portal in terms of quarterbacks this year. But they also bring in Damian Martinez, the running back from Oregon State. They got a receiver from Houston that they like. They've really improved their skill guys. And then they've recruited very well on both lines of scrimmage. I mean, like Francis Malinoa is going to be a sophomore this year. That was a five-star offensive lineman. Samson Okanola was a five-star who didn't start last year but will start this year. Reuben Bain on the defensive side of the ball was probably their best true freshman last year and one of the best in the country. So, like, they are talent-wise capable of making the playoff, capable of winning the ACC, but the questions about Mario Cristobal obviously – will be asked until he shows that he can take a team to a playoff. He's won a conference title at Oregon, but we want to see him do it in the ACC with Miami and make the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, we know he can recruit, right? That's what he's been known for doing. We know he can coach an offensive line. We don't know if he can manage a game and win on the margins, Andy, but I think the new age, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, the new age coach now, it's all about how do you get those transfers in and how do you get them up to speed quickly in this new world? I mean, that applies to everyone except for another coach in this league in Dabo Swinney.
Yeah. Dabo didn't take transfers he says he's fine with it. He just doesn't engage in it. But that's exactly what Mario's got to figure out. And it's what his rival Mike Norvell has had to figure out over the years and proven that he can do. You know, that's something that Florida State, when Mike Norvell started, was in such a deep hole. Now he's got them one of the best teams in the country. And a lot of the reason he's done that is because he's been able to find the right people in the transfer portal to restock that roster every single year. And Florida State's going to do that again. And so it could come down to two Florida State-Miami games in the ACC. But I would say Clemson's not dead yet. I'm not entirely convinced that they're going to be a competitor in the league. I need to see it first. NC State is sort of the wild card here. They bring in Grayson McCall, who is the longtime starting quarterback at Coastal Carolina. That defense is going to be good. It's good every year at NC State. Watch NC State Tennessee in week two. Watch how NC State plays against Tennessee. That should give you a good idea of what they're going to be in the ACC. Because if they can hang with Tennessee or beat Tennessee, they can beat anybody in the ACC. And they got Clemson 2 weeks later.
So Uiagalelei, third team, 3 years, Florida State, they're favorites in the ACC. Should they be favorites, and do you believe in the quarterback?
They should be favorites. I don't know how I feel about the quarterback yet. I know Mike Norvell believes in him. I know that Mike Norvell thinks that he can unlock DJ in a way that Clemson didn't, that Oregon State didn't. And I think, you know, that's going to be That's going to be very telling if he does. But the question for me is, can DJ give them what Jordan Travis gave them in terms of leadership and tangible stuff? Because Jordan Travis was such an important part of that team. And, you know, you saw the playoff committee say, well, once Jordan Travis got hurt, we didn't think you were that good. That you're going to have to give them some of what Jordan Travis gave them. They need that because this team is probably about as good as last year's, but I don't know that it's any better than last year's.
Okay, my friend, go take your kid to practice. AndyStaplesOn3.com. Andy Staples on 3 is the show. You can find the show YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Andy at Andy_Staples. It's great to see you, my friend, and thank you very much for all the time.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
Okay, good to see Andy Staples. Dustin, quickly, Progressive Guest Line brought you Mr. Staples, who's the best when it comes to college football. I can't even find a freaking box score on this USA-Brazil game in Paris. So can you help me?
Yeah.
Because I want an update on our bets.
Half-time.
First off, I know they're killing them at halftime, like up by like 25.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's 63-36 at the break. Your boy LeBron, what was your number, 12.5 rebounds and assists?
Yes.
He's got 10 combined right now. He had 8 assists in the first half. Steph Curry, not as hot. Would you go on him over assists?
No, over 2.5 threes made.
He doesn't have a three yet.
So the one team in Brazil in the Olympics that's given up more three-pointers than even two attempts hasn't allowed a three-pointer made to the greatest three-point shooter of all time. That's betting, Susan.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the U.S. is shooting 50% from three right now, 6 of 12. But just 7 points for Curry, none of them from beyond the arc.
If I told you what I just told you about Brazil, and then I told you they'd be up by 27 at the break, they'd be shooting 50% from three, and Steph wouldn't have one, what would you say?
I would say that's very unlikely is what I'd say. Or I'd also say you're due for a big second half.
Or you'd say that's baseball, Susan. All right, we'll keep you updated. Oh, by the way, just so you know, the team from Turkey got a late. Oh, Lil just scored. Lil scored in the final minute of extras. 2-1 winner over Ferbernash.
Sounds like you're winner. On the right side. Sounds like you're on the right
yes,
side.
Yes, I'm on the right side. I went with the Frenchies. Lil, L-I-L-L-E. Spell it out. Hey, coming back, some NFL betting with the GOAT, Mike Randall, FTNFantasy.com. You're not going to want to miss him. He's the best.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson live downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. You know, with a month off, I don't know if I was more excited to see a guest than a staple on the program. And his name is Mike Randall, a.k.a. The GOAT, FTNFantasy.com. And the fantasy part is important because with new leadership here, Progressive Guestline brings you Mike Randall. With new leadership here, we're going to have a focus on fantasy, which is very important. So for all your betting and fantasy needs, it's FTNFantasy.com. However, as we say hi, and I hope you're having a nice summer with the family, many don't know that that dude in the middle of the screen was a track star at Boston College. So I was asking him about the Olympics and the 100, okay, where Noah Lyles beat the Jamaican dude. The Jamaican dude's foot crossed the line first. Why didn't he win?
Because it's the torso. It's the torso. If I'm playing basketball with you and I just touch your hand, that's not a foul. I got to hit you. So great, your shoelace got over. It's the torso. We all know it. Sprinters know it. Sometimes we used to lean to block out the cameras, but now technology is too good. What I will tell you is a fine science, guys. When I was dating my wife, I did one on that first date. Do I call her back right away? Do I wait 24 hours? You have to find the magic balance. You can't lean too early. You can't lean too late. and Lyles leaned at the right time. And the juxtaposition between Curley, the guy from Jamaica, caused him to take his eye off of Lyles. Great job running through the line, like Sweetelson used to do when he did all his 100 meters back in high school. You run through the line, and that's what
it really was. Now, you can help me with this, because with the qualifications, and I kind of got into it late. I had heard of Noah Lyles, who is the kid from Arlington. He's kind of annoying, if we're being honest, but go America. That was a good field, correct? Like, that was a very, obviously a competitive race, but those were very good sprinters.
Oh, 100%. And I think he's the first Olympic runner I've ever seen who lost the trials and the semis and then came back and won the finals. Because you want to get a good lane. He was in lane 7. He was not in a good lane. That was a legit field. Ton of guys separated by such a small amount. Great race across the board, but he didn't give up. And you got to come on at the end, which I appreciate, Patrick, because that was my style. Great win for Lyles.
Obviously, everybody knows. We used to watch, of course, Mike Randall back at Boston College running track and field, and a little flexing with your daughter, because you were watching the women run at the Olympics, and based on their times, your times when you were sprinting at Boston College would have beat the Olympians.
Oh, 100%. She was impressed. I go, honey, I could beat these Olympians. She goes, really? I said, yeah, the women. She just rolled her eyes at me. But that's something. Those women are in incredible shape, great runners as well. You got to come up with a comparison. So I said, hey, if we beat somebody there,
No, it's incredible. Mike Randall, FTNFantasy.com. So we'll get to your plays when it comes to football. Of course, Randall, those that know him, was already squawking about college basketball. So he's getting fired up. But a lot of new elements over at FTN Fantasy for this football season.
Yes, FTN15 gets you 15% off, and folks, you're going to want it. We have our stats up here, which is incredible. We have charted everything for the NFL. We can have. I put out the other day number of created catches by wide receivers, number of times a running back was targeted when the quarterback was under duress, which gives you the, oh, who am I going to? Who's my guy? We can break it down by weather. We can break it down by down and distance. You're going to want to come join us here for Stats Hub. You have all Jeff Radcliffe's great work, Aaron Schatz with DVOA. We're killing it right now. And NBA and college basketball, Patrick, right around the corner. We have great things cooking here.
No, we're getting fired up. And specifically, the stats you're mentioning, great for prop bettors. So something to pay attention to. Every year, props become more and more important and popular. So great stats there. A team you're high on in the NFL this year is the Green Bay Packers, your second betting favorite in the North. And we'll start with the Coach of the Year odds. You like Mr. LaFleur there with the Pack at 16-1.
Yeah, our guy Sam Chuger, who you've had on, put up a great article about this, and I completely concur. He is not a product of Aaron Rodgers. He proved that last year. Jordan Love, they selected it. He was fantastic. 22 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. If you go from week 11 on through the playoffs, played great against the Cowboys, and actually played better than most think against the Niners, gave them a close game. I love this team. I love the wide receiver depth. The offensive line is better. They had 3 weaknesses. They addressed them with each one of those 3 picks. Give me Matt LaFleur plus 1,600. I am high on the Packers. And you know me, guys. I'm not hedging my bet, saying I may or may not like someone. I am all in. I was all in on Cooper Kupp a couple of years ago for Offensive Player of the Year. Had that work out. Matt LaFleur, your Coach of the Year, plus 1,600. I'm all in on the Packers.
Okay, hear me out on this one, of course. Mike Randall, FTNFantasy.com. Look, it's a division where the Eagles are going to win it, but if you're talking about a team and vibes because of what's happened in the past, the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, they've had a great offseason. Jaden Daniels in as a rookie. You've got him Offensive Rookie of the Year at 5.5-1. I don't think it's crazy. Now, they won 4 games last year, so the idea of them making the postseason, crazy things happen. Look at the Texans last year. I think this Commander team is going to be a bit of a sleeper, and you like the quarterback.
Darn right it's going to be a bit of a sleeper. I like them as one of my picks here to win the division because you said it. 19 of the last 20 years, the team has gone from last to first in division. Why not the Commanders? Jaden Daniels is eerily reminiscent of 2012 Robert Griffin III, who, by the way, created so much offense that plotter Alf Morris, who's the snail from Monsters, Inc., was able to get 1,600 yards that year. Jaden Daniels, Offensive Rookie of the Year, plus 550. I don't buy that it's going to be Caleb Williams. I don't think so. I know he's got a lot of weapons, but it's Chicago. I believe in Cliff Kingsbury. He's done this before with Kyler Murray. Jaden Daniels has a big arm. He can run. They have some decent weapons. Offensive line's a question mark, but that just means they're going to have to score a ton. I'm in on Jaden Daniels. 7 of the last 14 offensive rookie of the year has been quarterback. That's 50%. Flip a coin. Give me JD with Washington. The Commanders are going to be competitive.
I agree. Look, whatever you want to say about Eric Bieniemy, Jahan Dotson took a big step backwards last year. I think Kingsbury's going to have that offense cooking. And I like Jaden Daniels specifically because dual threat running the football. The target with the G-men, the Giants, is going to be Malik Nabers. He's a freaking stud, Randall. And you've got him most rookie receiving yards at 5-1 for Nabers.
Patrick, so much of the preseason is deciding which is legit hype and which is just smoke. You know, Arian Foster several years ago showed us that he could be legit in the preseason. And then, of course, we had Kenny Pickett last year, who was great in the preseason, was absolutely terrible. This one I'm buying. No one is guarding Malik Nabers. Lions came in. No one could guard him there either in the scrimmage that just happened out here in New Jersey. The idea that he's 2.5 times worse odds than Marvin Harrison Jr. Can we stop with Marvin Harrison Jr. being like Jerry Rice? I can argue Malik Nabers is a better wide receiver and a better prospect right off the bat. But if you want to look, you're going to have Trey McBride as the number one option in the Arizona offense, and it is Kyler Murray in this Giants attack. It's all Malik Nabers. Yes, there's Wandell Robinson's, a couple other guys, but enough. He's been targeted a ton. Daniel Jones is going to go to him. He's going to get the volume on a Giants team. He's going to be the centerpiece of the offense. It's an odds play for me. Plus 500 or 550, whatever you get it at with Malik Nabers, I will grab that in a second. Look at the other options. Keon Coleman at plus 600, stop. It's not a personality award. Ladd McConkey doesn't have a quarterback at the moment, and Xavier Worthy is the sucker's play. Yes, I know he's fast like John Ross. Nobody cares. Give me Malik Nabers. I believe the smoke is fire on what's happened here in the preseason.
Pay attention, people. That's greatness. Next up, most rush yards. 6-1, Randall. You're going Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I'm going with Jonathan Taylor here. CMC is already hurt. Saquon Barkley has to contend with Jalen Hurts rushing and a myriad of offensive weapons. But Jonathan Taylor, they use him a ton. Yes, Anthony Richardson could steal touchdowns, but I don't think he's going to steal that many rushing yards. And I have concerns, guys. The idea that Breece Hall is just going to get the majority of carries, they're worried about his injury. I don't buy it. Same for Derrick Henry. You heard Justice Hill's already going to be an issue, and I believe that as well. Jonathan Taylor is a volume rusher. I think he's great odds. I think he's likely to be the person they lean on in this offense. And I don't trust the other wide receivers like Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, and those sort of people. So I'm going here with Jonathan Taylor.
Your daughter's trying out for the volleyball team. They're at school. If she doesn't make the senior team, what's the deal?
She doesn't eat. That's just the way it is. You got to teach lessons here, and she got to make varsity, and that's the way it's going to be. But she's already been complimented, Patrick, for diving for loose balls and being there early and on time. That's the successful way to do it. I've taught her well. Let's see how she does.
She coached the Randall family. They parent hard, they coach hard, and that's just the way it is. FTNFantasy.com for more information. We look forward to a great football season with you, Randall. Thank you for your time. Great to see you.
You guys are the best. So happy to be back. Let's get it on.
Let's go. And the hair. The hair looks good. Progressive Guest Line brought you Mr. Randall, Mike Randall. You know what that is, big guy? That's greatness.
Oh, it is indeed greatness. It's as good as it gets, and I can't wait to chat with him every week. I think, like, of the people we have on to do NFL, there's no one that comes close. I mean, he went on a crazy run last year, especially to start the season when there's a lot of unknowns up in the air. Mike Randall seems to thrive.
How about an Alfred Morris reference, which you don't get very often? We're going to come back with our bets happening in real time and also some of these prices on the quarterback battles. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson, the big guy, hanging out at the D downtown Las Vegas. We've got some baseball plays coming up for you, including a family play from Mike Somich. We'll get into that. White Sox, of course, they just tied the AL mark of 21 straight losses last night with the loss at Oakland. But we are betting USA-Brazil men's basketball in Paris. Dustin, let's get a quick update there.
Your score with about 3 minutes to go in the third, 86-59. The U.S. are on top. Leading scorer for the Americans, Devin Booker, been really awesome. 18 points to lead the U.S. charge. We will see here if the back door remains open. 26.5 was the line, so we are right on the cusp there.
And congratulations to you. That first quarter covered 8 easily. Bam Adebayo, over 4.5 boards. I believe you covered that in the first half. I was on LeBron rebounds assists over 12.5. Now, again, with a blowout, this is where it gets dicey. And we did mention it before. Also, report coming that LeBron has scratched his eye. Where does he stand?
So you are right on the cusp right now. He has 9 assists. I believe his number was 8.5 there, 3 rebounds. So we're at 12. You need one more. He got poked in the eye and was down for a little bit. Then there was a timeout. That was about 3 or 4 minutes ago in game action, and we have not seen him back on the floor yet. Maybe he comes back out for the fourth quarter, but I highly doubt it with the score the way it is.
If he does come back out, I need one board.
Just one.
Or one dime.
Just one.
Just one.
Just one.
Could be an 0-2 day because it doesn't sound like Steph has gotten hot from three in the second half.
Yeah, well, look, I've been watching this game while we've been on the air, and I don't see in this box score the minutes, but I have not seen Steph on the floor a lot. I think they made it a concerted effort to keep him off the floor and rest him up against a bad team and save him for when they really need him, because this is his first Olympics. He's getting older, right? So I think they're waiting to deploy Steph Curry's services when they absolutely need the three ball.
Okay, let's do this. Let's circle back to where we started the program today, and that's with some Chicago White Sox history. As I mentioned, they are on pace right now to finish 38-124. 119 losses. That's the record in the AL for the 2003 Detroit Tigers. So the White Sox obviously on course to beat that record, unfortunately, for Chicago White Sox fans. A couple of things here. One, they lost last night catching plus 170. Okay, Oakland, who is a team that's 20 games under 500, were laying 205. Now, when sports betting, it's important to shop for the best number, to have multiple outs. And I'll give you an example why. So Dustin and I there's a couple of things. The human element that's going to come into play tonight. The idea that Ross Stripling's on the bump for the A's, so maybe the White Sox get out in front early. And again, there has to be some pride in that locker room. They don't want to go down in history as the worst AL team as far as losing streaks in the history of the sport, which goes 140 years. So a little bit of a human element, a situational play. But here's something that's very important when sports betting. So I'm taking a look at the books right now, okay? And I'm looking White Sox, A's, and I see the A's priced up to minus 220, which is ridiculous. Got to lay $2.20 to win a dollar for the A's, who are 20 games under 500. However, check out the variance on the comeback on the White Sox. So, right, for example, I'm just looking at DraftKings. They're plus 180. So if you want to play the White Sox, you can get plus 180. If you go over in town where you're sitting at the Westgate, the White Sox are plus 195. So you get 15 cents extra, a plus 195 price on the White Sox. I'm going to have Dustin drive to the Westgate. Let me see what Circa has. In fact, you can just look over your shoulder. Do you have the Circa pricing there for the White Sox?
Circa, White Sox, CWS. Why don't I see it? I don't
it's okay.
see it.
Okay, take
on.
Your time. I'm just curious to see
plus
what their
195.
Price is.
Plus 195.
Plus 195. So, again, just a quick teaching moment. If you're thinking, well, the White Sox plus 180, that's a crazy price. Dustin can turn around and go bet plus 195 on the White Sox as soon as work wraps up, or right now if you want to bail during the segment. But that's a tremendous price.
Yeah. I was looking at a couple books here. I ended up with the apps that I had downloaded, Boyd plus 194. But, yeah, look, you don't get opportunities like this very often in betting. You don't get a number that big and a streak that has to end at some point. I know the schedule is brutal, but this is the best opportunity coming up. If we bet it today, we bet it tomorrow, we'll be getting great numbers on a bad White Sox team that has to find its way into a win sometime soon.
100%. So we've got baseball plays to come, but let's do this. Let's open up our family plays for the day. And our buddy Mike Somich, big guy, I believe he has a baseball play for us.
Yeah, you know him. Old Somo Bomb 18 on the X machine. A guy who is the bane of my existence at times. Loves to butt me every chance he gets. And you see him on the handle. Weekends right here on VSiN. And this is Mike Somich with a
short. Can I, before you introduce the video, can I say this? So we had a very exciting team meeting today as our new EVP, Steve Cohen, was introduced. And I think the biggest shocker or the biggest upset of the meeting is that front row Samo didn't ask a question.
No, but I know he felt good because he got a shout out within like 30 seconds of it starting.
Yeah. Like, and what Dustin's referencing is people show up at team meetings just hoping their name is mentioned. That's it.
Yeah, mine not was
me,
not.
Because I'm an old man at this point. I really don't care. Hire me, fire me. What are you going to do? Dustin shows up hoping, does Cohen mention me? Does AD mention me? Now, most of the conversation was about Lombardi, if we're being honest. But yes, Somich did get a mention.
He did. I think he actually got two, technically. And here's the thing.
Nobody would know better than you because you were taking score.
I was checking them off every time they came in at double crosses over Mike's name. Not a good look. Not a good look. But look. Mike and I are aligned on a couple plays. The problem with baseball is you never know which one is the right bet when you have a good handicap. So Mike's going to share a play here. We're simpatico, same mindset. I just went a different route than Mike, which makes me feel good because despite him being really annoying, he's one of the sharpest people on the planet.
Go ahead. Here it is.
Sharp
family
money.
Play from Somich.
Family play. What's up, everybody? Mike Somich coming at you with another Sharp Money play of the day. We're going to head up north here. The Toronto Blue Jays taking on the Baltimore Orioles up in Toronto. And both of these lineups absolutely love to hammer the starting pitchers today. We got Grayson Rodriguez on the mound for the Orioles. In 61 at-bats, this Blue Jays lineup hitting .311 against them, including four home runs. Vladimir Guerrero specifically 5-for-14 with a dinger. Chris Bassett on the hill. For the Blue Jays, this Orioles lineup in 70 at-bats hitting .400, and specifically Gunnar Henderson, 4-for-7, two homers, five RBIs. Let's look to the first five five total here, going over 4.5 in the Blue Jays Orioles game today. And a little bonus play here, also like Gunnar Henderson, over a half RBI plus +150. So for the play of the day, going over 4.5, first five Blue Jays Orioles, and also going to sprinkle a little Gunnar Henderson plus +150 there. Now, before we sign off, make sure I text Dustin here. All right. Sent over. Good luck today with your plays.
That was a callback from Samo yesterday. It got a little heated. It got a little tense on the program towards the end of the show because Dustin didn't play Somich's family vid because it went to his spam email.
Yeah, I mean, just why is my email not filtering some of the other grotesque stuff I get, but it's filtering what Mike Somich is sending me? It feels like that's a weird move on my email's part, but I do love his play. I love getting runs in this game off of Chris Bassett. I'm going over 2.5 earned runs, Patrick, off of Bassett. This guy's got a 7.01 July ERA. He's actually worse at home than he is on the road. He allowed 5 earned runs in 4 innings pitched last Tuesday against Baltimore. And Mike mentioned all the numbers against this lineup. It's absolutely brutal. A 5.45 career ERA for Chris Bassett against the O's. So we will go over 2.5 earned runs allowed.
Yeah, Bassett and both of today's starters saw the opponent in the previous series.
Yeah.
I like Rodriguez over Bassett. And again, he's been horrible his last several starts, and the Toronto bullpen, Dustin, continues to be a liability. So I'm not laying $1.55, but I agree with you guys on fading Bassett.
Yeah, that's the key here. The guy's lost it. He was really good a few years ago, but has nothing left.
That's what you get, big guy. You want to squeak in one more before we get to Shane Vereen?
Yeah, let's do one more play real quick. I've got the Giants, first five, minus $1.25 at your Nationals, Patrick. Mackenzie Gore, it's getting uglier by the month. A 3.19 in April, a really good 2.60 in May, In June, it was 5.13 his ERA. July, 7.62. He has an 8.30 ERA over the last 30 days. He has a 5.65 career ERA against San Francisco. I love San Francisco. They kill lefties. Let's back them in the first five, minus 125.
All right, big guy. Good job. Good job, Samo. We have more family plays to come from the Plus Money Prince 110. And our buddy Prop Holiday going to join with a future in the NFL. But next, a dude that played in the NFL, Brock Vereen, does a great job with the Big Ten. A new look Big Ten. We're going to break it down with Brock next.